Well, good morning, Trinity Central, and yeah, happy Easter. Today is the day. Today is the day we celebrate Jesus Christ's resurrection. More than just his resurrection, his victory over sin and death. The reason that he came to this earth, the reason that God the Father sent his beloved Son to the earth. Today we celebrate that. It's weird, like Christmas is usually like this, like the big day, the big celebration of the year. And for me, I actually go like Easter is bigger for me almost, because it's like, yes, the birth of Jesus Christ is obviously a huge celebration, but it's the start of the end goal. And the end goal was today. The end goal was Jesus's resurrection. God the Father's plan to send his Son to restore what was broken in the Garden of Eden, to restore that broken relationship with the Father, that without a sinless sacrifice, we would not be able to restore that relationship. And Jesus was that. So for today, I felt that God was telling me just to tell the story of Jesus. Like, basically, I'm going to touch on some main points. I'm going to touch on everything. I'm going to focus on a few points through the process. But yeah, basically, I just want to give us the gospel story. This is what we believe as Christians. So after Jesus has now come to Jerusalem, after last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and Jesus enters into Jerusalem. He's coming to Jerusalem so that he can partake in the Passover feast. So Jesus enters into Jerusalem, but the problem is the religious leaders there have already had interactions with him. They have already heard stories about him and his ministry and everything that's happened, and so they already have decided that they want to get rid of him. There is something about this Jesus guy, they don't want him around. They basically have fear and jealousy going on there, which leads them ultimately to crucify him. But this fear was stemmed out of a few things. Firstly, just the fear of, you know, they were taking over his ministry, their ministry. And so there was this jealousy that, no, now he's going to change the whole religious structures that were in place already. And apart from that, he had now claimed to be the Messiah. And they were like, in their laws, they were like, they're allowed to stone him for this heresy. Because obviously they thought he was not the Messiah, he was not the coming Savior. So they assumed that they believed that they should be stoning him. And so there was many reasons for the religious leaders wanting to get rid of Jesus. So that leads to Judas. And Judas, led by Satan, then sees this as an opportunity to then betray Jesus. And so he goes to these religious leaders and says that he will give Jesus up to him. Obviously for some money, but they would give him up at a time when there weren't a lot of people around, when there wasn't a crowd around, because at that stage, the crowd still loved Jesus. They still saw him as this amazing religious leader. There was miracles. He had crowds following him all over. So that's why they had to scheme and make plans to get Jesus when there weren't crowds around. But before this all happens, before the betrayal, Jesus and his disciples go and have the Last Supper. The Last Supper is exactly that. It was Jesus' Last Supper before he died. So Jesus and his disciples go, they have the Last Supper. This was a celebration of the Passover. The Passover was obviously to commemorate the Israelites' escape from Egypt. But the main thing that they were celebrating was that when on the last plague that Moses encountered or did was that the angel of death was going to come over all the people, and only those who had painted the blood of a lamb, a sacrificial lamb, on their doorposts, only them, their first sons, would not die. So from that, they were trusting by faith to put this blood of the lamb on the doorposts, and it worked. And they saw, this is like their faith proved like it proved right, and they could see that their God was with them and that He saved them. This obviously was a foreshadow of Jesus' coming. And so we now get to trust in the blood of Jesus for our salvation. We have that same, we put our same faith in Jesus and His blood that was shed for us. So at this point in the service, I want us to take communion. I know it's a little bit different mid-service, but today I'd like us to just pause for a moment and just remember this, what Jesus did on Good Friday before we get to the celebration of today, the Easter Sunday. The Old Covenant was that they would take their animal sacrifices to the priests, and the priests would then sacrifice them, and that was basically like, you know, they were doing that for all of their sins, that the sins, that their sins were transferred to the lambs was then killed, and so that was then like the blood shed for these lambs. But the Bible tells us that that was just a foreshadow of Jesus coming. The new covenant, however, is that we trust in Jesus and His shed blood for us, which covers our sins. In Luke 22, verse 19, and we'll take communion together now. Thank you. I want to just read the scripture in Luke 22 as we take communion together. Jesus is now at the Last Supper, and He says, "And He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is My body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" Let's take the bread. Jesus, we remember You today, Your life, Your teachings, Your way that You showed us to live. Luke 22, verse 20. "In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is poured out for you.'" Thank You, Jesus, for this new covenant that You have given us, this freedom that we can have in You, this trust that we can trust in You and Your shed blood for us. Thank You, Jesus, for Your faithfulness to the cross. Out of Your pure love for us, that even though You went through anguish, You still were faithful to this. Amen. After this, Jesus then, after the supper, Jesus then heads out to the Mount of Olives, where He does pray and asks God the Father to take this cup from Him, yet not His will, but God's will. And obviously, God, knowing that this is the plan of salvation for all of us sitting here today, He led Jesus to keep going to the cross. Jesus, faithful faithful to the Father, He goes into the cross. Jesus then, in the garden, Judas then comes at this time and betrays Jesus with a kiss. He comes with the religious leaders and they arrest him where there is no crowd to say to like question them and ask why they're taking away this Jesus who has been a good religious leader to them. He obviously then goes, they take Jesus to stand trial, and after standing trial before Pilate, Pilate then says, no, he can be given, he can be crucified. They send him to be crucified. They swap him with Barabbas, the known criminal, and the crowd then at this stage can choose one basically criminal that they can, in essence, swap out. And so they choose Jesus to be swapped out with Barabbas, and they say, release Barabbas rather, and take Jesus, because the religious leaders couldn't find a reason, or Pilate couldn't find a reason to send Jesus to the cross. So it ended up being that it was only by like the crowd that Jesus got sent there. So after so Pilate then sends him away to be crucified. After that he is mocked and tortured and led to the cross. As is on the cross, I just want to read this scripture from Luke 23. It's the encounter of the two criminals that are hung on the two crosses next to Jesus. It says, one of the criminals who hung there was hurling, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminals rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. When he said, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Just that simple. No religious acts to earn his salvation. That criminal hanging next to Jesus, there wasn't any penance. He didn't perform any acts to restore his relationship with Jesus. He didn't go and serve all day long. He didn't pay his tithe. He just trusted in Jesus. And for us, it's like I want you to remember, it's like it's that simple. The cross, the story of Jesus, the good news, the gospel, it's that simple. It's nothing more, there's nothing less. It's just trusting in Jesus and what he's done for us, the salvation that he freely gives us. God is a God of love. God is a God of forgiveness. He's just to forgive us our sins. If it was a case where we had to do something to earn us our forgiveness, it would in essence be like a double payment for our sins, because Jesus has already paid for those sins. So there's no need for us to pay for those sins, because Jesus has done it. If we truly believe that Jesus has done all that he's done on the cross for us, then we know that there's no reason for us to earn back our, you know, good standing with Jesus. Yes, as we sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us and he tells us, you're better than that. You don't need to do that. You can live in a way of love. But it's not the Holy Spirit that convicts us, that condemns us. It's Satan who condemns us and says, now you've broken relationship with God. He's rejected you. No, Jesus was rejected on the cross by the Father. He was forsaken. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to reject us, no matter what sin we've done. So we can stand in that right relationship with Jesus always. Always, always. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we are in Christ Jesus, we can't condemn ourselves. Following this, Jesus obviously then dies on the cross and is put in the tomb for 3 days. that in essence is the story of Good Friday, leading up to Good Friday. And then comes today. Today, Resurrection Sunday, the day that we find our victory in Jesus Christ. Luke 24, verse 1 to 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away and from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. Jesus has risen. Jesus is alive. This is the miracle of today, the Resurrection Sunday. The curtain of the temple is torn. And firstly, we can now receive salvation through Jesus Christ. And secondly, we can now have a relationship with the Father. The torn curtain is the releasing of God's presence, who was only there for the high priest to go into. When that curtain was torn, it was God's way of saying, "I am available to each one of us now." The sins that held him behind that curtain are now paid for. Because us, as sinful people, we would be unholy to God, unable to go into his presence. But because all of our sins are paid for, we are now righteous again. So we can enter into God's presence anytime, all the time. God is freely, freely, freely available to us, even after you've sinned. So I just wanted to just clarify one thing. I just wanted to go through the theology of this. Jesus' death, He's paid for our sins with his death. There needed to be a blood sacrifice for our sins. That was God's standard. That's why there was the sacrifice of the goats, which was a foreshadow of Jesus. Jesus pays for our sins. Our sins are sorted. So you might say then, okay, then what is the point of the resurrection? If our sins are paid for, then we're fine. We're good. The problem is then, we as Christians, when we receive salvation by faith, we are baptized into Jesus. So now if Jesus dies for our sins, and we are in Jesus, and Jesus isn't risen, we are with Jesus in death. We are with Jesus in the grave. So now, Jesus needed to be raised up. And when he is raised up, we, being baptized in Jesus, are raised up with him into life. I wanted to give you this example. It was just something that I came up one day at Life Group long ago. And it was just to help us with the concept. It's this is Jesus. The milk is Jesus. And we see Jesus now as he's pure, he's sinless. And he dies and is raised up. And we, as speckled eggs, have all these speckles on us, all this sin, all this dirt, all this rubbish from our life, all of our sins and baggage and everything. And Jesus says, "Receive me as your Savior by faith, just by faith, no added extras." And so for us, we as a speckled egg, we are baptized into Jesus. And we are hidden in Jesus. and you cannot see us. When the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see all our shortcomings, all our failures. He sees Jesus. That's why we are baptized into Jesus. Romans 6, verse 1 to 5. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Like, if Jesus is not seeing our sin, can we just my sin then? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who received, who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from death through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death, like this, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. So for us as Christians, that is the celebration, that is the joy, that is the freedom that we step into. We go, we are free from sin. We are free from condemnation. We are free just to live under the grace and goodness of God. That's why the scriptures tell us we do not have our faith. We do not live under law, because that is the old covenant. But we live under grace, the new covenant, the covenant of Jesus, the freedom of Jesus. And when we step into that freedom, that we don't have to, you know, be condemned by our sins and our shortcomings. And even when we do sin, it's just like, sorry, God, we move it on in that freedom, in that goodness. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you, to show you that, to show you how much freedom he wants you to live in, how much the essence of what Jesus came was to give, to restore our relationship with the Father. And so we have that now. We have God the Father available to us. We have the Holy Spirit. And so it's just like now as Christians, it's a matter of walking out that love that Jesus showed us how to, without condemnation, without, you know, fears and worries and anxieties. It's just like living in the freedom of Jesus. And as we live in this relationship with this living God, day to day, we'll find that, we'll find the freedom, the help, the guidance that Jesus has for us. But more than that, we'll just have a relationship with the Father. God the Father is not mad with you. He's not angry with us all the time. He's not that angry Father that's waiting for us to mess up. And so we live in this fear of our Father. No, God is a loving Father. His eyes for you are grace. His thoughts for you are more than the sand in the sea. And they're good thoughts. They're not thoughts of condemnation. And we see in 1 Corinthians 13, love is not holding a record of wrong. God the Father is love. And so he doesn't sit there holding us a record of wrong. He sees us as beloved sons and daughters. And so today we celebrate that. We celebrate the freedom that we walk into, of the love of a Father who sent a son, his son, to pay for our sins so that we can live in this crazy, amazing freedom in a fallen, fallen world. Lord Jesus Christ, we just thank you so much for your faithfulness to the cross. That out of your pure love in your heart, you died for us. And thank you now that through your resurrection, we can live in your life, in your resurrection freedom, in your goodness, in your love, and in relationship with you, the God of the universe, all-powerful. Thank you for this incredible love for us. Praise you, and we worship you. Amen. And that is the gospel story. That is the essence of it. And I know there's like a whole bunch more Bible there. And that's basically just to, like, as Jesus said in his walk on the road to Emmaus, like, that was all pointing to Jesus and teaching us how to live out our Christian life. But we need to get the foundation, that fundamental freedom that we can have in Jesus. We need to get that cemented and secure. And then after that, we live a life of love, not out of, like, I have to, but because I want to, because I can see the beauty of how Jesus loved us, and so I can love others the same way. I hope you guys all have an amazing Sunday. I'm sure there's lots of family lunches, etc., going to happen. Many, many Easter eggs, please take. But yeah, stay for a coffee if you can. If you need to run off to start cooking those delicious lunches, be free.